Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this morning is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who, having completed the work of our salvation, rose again from the dead, and 40 days later ascended into heaven, dear fellow redeemed in his precious blood. He left. There's something abrupt, final, about those two words. But they're hardly a complete explanation. They offer no promise of a return. They only reveal what sounds like a sudden departure. I'm thankful that the ascension of our Lord Jesus is not stated in so few words. The evangelist Luke doesn't just tell us, then Jesus left. Rather, for our comfort, the Spirit not only reveals that Jesus ascended into heaven, but also the circumstances of his departure. Why are the circumstances of his departure important? Because his departure, in a manner of speaking, is a glimpse of his coming again. May God the Holy Spirit lead us to hopefully look toward the coming again of our Lord through these words. Amen. If you think about it, Jesus' ascension into heaven was hardly an abrupt event. Even though Jesus spoke of his ascending to Mary Magdalene as early as Easter Sunday, it was more than a month later, 40 days to be exact, before Jesus ascended. Why didn't Jesus ascend immediately after his resurrection? The answer is that it was necessary for the Lord to prepare his disciples to proclaim the meaning and the necessity of his life, his death, and his resurrection. And so during those 40 days, Jesus presented himself alive to his disciples by many infallible proofs. And as that period of time drew to a close, Jesus instructed his disciples, as you heard in the gospel lesson, to remain in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit equipped them to be his witnesses to the world. The same Jesus equips us to be his witnesses through their recorded words found in Scripture. After he had spoken to them, he took them out, and the next event of his glorious exaltation took place, as described here. Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up. Do you remember the last time you saw your grandma or grandpa before they died? I can remember the last time I saw my grandpa Leland Grahams before he died. I can still see his face in my mind's eye. I hope that I never forget. Do you think that the disciples ever forgot the last time that they saw Jesus alive? What did they see? Well, at the end of his gospel, Luke tells us that Jesus, having led them as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them. So what do you think was the last thing that they saw? One of the things that they saw in his outstretched hands was the print of the nails. They were reminded once more of the price of their redemption and the substance of the message that they were to proclaim to all the world. They saw in his outstretched hands the reason why they could go forth with boldness, because their Lord was the one who holds the keys to the grave and of death. And then, as they watched, he was taken up before them. We think of heaven as above, don't we? Even though we don't know exactly where the eternal abode of God and the church triumphant is, we think of it as above. Why? Well, the psalmist says of the Lord in Psalm 14, "The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God." When Elijah was taken up into heaven, we're told, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. When Jesus returned to his heavenly home, having completed the work of our salvation, he was taken up until a cloud received him out of their sight. And so when we were children, and perhaps even to this day, we think of heaven as up in the clouds, in part because of these words. The cloud is said to have received him out of their sight, to have hidden him while he was transferred to heaven. They only saw the first part of his ascension, not his glorious return to the Father. And then it was as if they didn't know what to do next. They stood there, watching him go up. It's clear that Jesus did not just suddenly vanish, as he had at other times after his resurrection. It was important that they see him go up. We are also ourselves urged in Scripture to look up for two reasons. First of all, we are to look up toward heaven, to see it and not this world as our home. In the letter to the Colossians, the Holy Spirit urges us to set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Secondly, when the last day arrives, while many will be looking down, cowering in fear, we are urged to look up at the glorious reappearing of our Savior. The Lord himself said of that day, "Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." On that day, we won't be the only ones looking up, and neither were the disciples on the day of his ascension. For we're told, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. The word behold is always important when we find it, especially in the New Testament. It's a word that's meant to draw our attention to something important. And it isn't the men who are standing gazing into the sky. What we are to note is the two men who suddenly stood by them in white apparel. They are messengers of the Lord of hosts, sent with an important message not only for the disciples on that day, but for us today. If you think about it, angels appeared during Jesus' life at significant events. They were dispatched at his annunciation, the announcement of his birth, at his birth, at his temptation in Gethsemane, at his resurrection, and finally, at his ascension. These particular angels are not named, but we're told that they were dispatched from the heavens with an important message for them and for us. A message that does not merely concern his departure, but also his coming again. Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. They didn't need to continue to stand there wistfully gazing into the sky, wondering if this was the last time they would ever see Jesus. The angels assured them that the same Jesus would return. They would not need to look for another Christ to appear. He had come. And they didn't need to wonder where he had gone either. That was not to be a mystery for them or for us. The angels revealed that he was taken up into heaven. It is as we still confess today. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Now, the angels didn't reveal what we'd all like to know, the date of his return. That day and hour is known only to the Father. But they did reveal that he would come again. The message is simple and yet profound. The same Jesus will so come from heaven in like manner, in the same way that he went into heaven. Notice that the angels didn't say that Jesus would come to the same place on earth. It doesn't say that he will return to a hill outside of Bethany. They didn't say that he'd come back secretly or more than once, like some Christians suggest today. The scripture is united when it says that he will return once to judge the living and the dead. They did say that he'd come again in the same manner as they saw him go, in the same way. And how was that? First of all, he will return visibly. They saw him go visibly, and we will see him return visibly. We can leave it to skeptics as to how we will see Jesus if he comes back on the other side of the earth. We will all see him. The Apostle John confirms this truth in the Revelation when he says, "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen." Not only will he return visibly, he will return bodily. They saw him go bodily into heaven, and we will see him return bodily. He will not return as some spirit being or angel, but the same Jesus who died, who rose again, who ascended. And he will come again in connection with the clouds and with the holy angels. The exalted Lord ascended in connection with the clouds, and his departure was witnessed by the angels. And so will his return be. It will be as Jesus said. "Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory." And that's why the ascension of our Lord Jesus should give us great comfort. Not just on that 40th day after Easter, you know, that evening service that only a few people come to, the Ascension Day service. The ascension of Jesus reminds us that he has completed the work of our salvation. And through faith in his living and dying, we have peace with God through the forgiveness of sins. Jesus would not have returned to his native heaven had the work been undone. But it was indeed finished since Calvary, as he said. Moreover, Jesus' ascension reminds us that he's gone ahead to prepare a place for us. And when we depart this life, it will be to the mansions of heaven, the place without sin or sorrow or death. But the ascension of Jesus also should remind us of his second coming in glory. He will not leave us as orphans, but will come again to us. it is a comfort to know that he will appear a second time for us for salvation. And so it is written, as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. In other words, he's coming back just like he went. Thanks be to God. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.